Hey, church, I am so excited to share the scripture with you, the story of God. By the way, if you're new to Church Home, welcome. We're so glad you're here. And I got to fill you in. We've got a little bit more people in the studio tonight than we have had in, let's see, 60 weeks. I have, let's say, 20 of my closest friends here in the studio, and we're having a great time, but we are so glad that you have joined us. We need each other. Let's all continue to pray. There are so many things that are on my mind and heart tonight around the world, not the least of which is the Gaza Strip. And I trust that you are praying for everyone involved, for protection, for peace. This is our privilege to do so. I think about India every day. There are many people practicing their faith with Church Home from India. We love you. We are thinking about you right now. There is a lot. There's a lot going on in the world. I want to thank everybody for being in this room tonight. It's already a little hot in this room, but that's okay. Here we are. I want to talk about an interesting subject tonight that I think is pretty relevant considering the global circumstances that have affected all of us collectively. By the way, we got to pause for a second and just think about, isn't that wild that there is something that's happening to all of us around the world at the same time? It is a very, very unusual and unprecedented days and times. And by the way, if you are watching this and you feel unnerved, you feel disturbed, you feel frustrated, agitated, alone, any of these emotions, if I could for a moment normalize that a little bit, I share some of those exact feelings. This has not been easy. It doesn't look like it's going to be easy anytime soon. So we need each other. And by saying that, I got to admit, when I walked into the studio and 20 actual real people, we did this, but what I wanted to do was this, you know, and like never let go, but that would be super creepy. And I can't do that, but we miss connection, don't we? And there is a lot of implications that come with disconnectedness. Disconnectedness is a word, but we're going to go with it. That disconnectedness has maybe produced in you as you're watching right now a feeling like, man, I'm really not well. Well, the truth is you're probably doing a lot better than you think you are. And I want to encourage you. And I think the topic today can really encourage you. I want to talk about the pace we're at. The last message I did was on rhythm and the imperativeness of rhythm in our life. I want to talk about how rushed we are. I want to talk about how hurried we are. I want to talk about how unsettled we are. I'll say it this way. I want to talk about how difficult it is for all of us right now to be, wait for it, still. There's this really, really frustrating scripture in the Bible, and it says, be still and know that I am God. I'd rather not be still and just know that he's God. Right? Like, well, there's an option, right? Like, let's just kind of go about our day and know that he's God. But the scripture seems to insinuate that there is some beauty, some majesty, some health, and some significance to learning to be still. So I'm going to title this message, Why Humans Hurry. Why do we hurry? Why are we in such a hurry? Why are you in a hurry? Why are you in a hurry? Isn't it odd? You could be in India right now, and there's a hurried heart that we're all having to deal with. You could be in India. You could be in Florida. You could be in Singapore. You could be in Africa. You could be in Australia. But seemingly, collectively, many people blame it on the technological age. There's a number of reasons we live with what I like to call a hurried heart. Everything seems rushed. Everything seems hurried. Now, what's interesting about this subject is I grew up with a preacher. My dad was the pastor that started this community, and it was back then it was called the City Church. And back in the 80s, we traveled around America, and my dad did a seminar to young people about purpose and vision and destiny. And one of his favorite analogies of what was kind of wrong with culture was tapping your foot in front of the microwave. Now, this is before the internet, this is before tweeting and Instagram, all these things that are more common to us than, like, I don't know, brushing our teeth, right? This is just the way of life now. And I think back to my dad, the preacher in the 80s, thinking, oh, Dad, If you had any idea, you think the microwave is what's making us rushed and hurried? Oh, Dad, how times have changed. Are you like me? When my super duper uber fast internet doesn't work, I just turn everything off. Well, internet's out. It's not out. It's just like takes 10 seconds instead of no seconds. Have you noticed that? You're like, I'm done. I'm done trying. Try to load it once. No, internet's out. And it's actually not out. It's just not working super fast. Anybody old enough watching or in the room to remember the sounds the modem used to make? That horrible, slow sound. It actually made waiting way worse, right? And I'm trying to think of how to impersonate it, but I think I'll just hurt all of our ears, so I won't do that. But it's amazing the pace of the world, isn't it? But I'd like to suggest there's a deeper reason. We have a propensity as human beings to rush and hurry. So the other night, Chelsea and I are laying in bed. It's not gonna get any more graphic than this, okay? So relax. And you know, it's funny, when COVID started to really impact all of our lifestyle here in North America, we got a very big flat screen and put it in our bedroom, okay? Which for us has kind of been like, we're not doing TV in the bedroom. In the bedroom is where we do conversations and then other things without clothes on, stuff like that. But I was like, we're gonna get a flat screen because we're gonna be in the bedroom a lot. Boy, I had no idea. By the way, I wish all of the weddings I've done, and I've done a lot of weddings, ladies and gentlemen, that I knew COVID was coming, because I would have been like, hey, and by the way, when the global pandemic and quarantine hits, you guys, it's gonna be really hard. You know, like marriage is gonna be harder than ever. I mean, some of you are like, I'm not even married. I got a roommate and I hate him. You know, like it's unbelievable. None of us were prepared. Listen, I have counselors and therapists that are my close friends and coaches and life coaches and marriage coaches. And I know marriage coaches whose marriage isn't doing great right now because none of us were meant to be this close all the time to someone. You know, like, what do you wanna do today? I don't know. What do you wanna do? Are you okay? I'm okay. Are you okay? You know, I've asked Chelsea if she's okay so many times in this quarantine that she's like, if you ask me one more time, I'm not okay. I'm not okay now because you keep asking me if I'm okay, right? Are you sure you're okay? Are you okay? No, babe, are you okay? She's like, ah, right? So you can imagine what it's like living with me. It's a bit of a nightmare. So anyways, we're laying in bed and I have Notting Hill on, to be exact. I probably shouldn't mention movies because movies can be incredibly offensive, especially when preachers watch movies that people don't approve of. I was watching Notting Hill back in 19, it was a movie we watched when we got married, 1999, right? And I didn't know it, but Chelsea's like, she goes, really? And I'm kind of looking around like, what does the really mean, you know? Because by the way, marriage works when you can interpret each other's code words. It's by the way, it's the really that doesn't go, really? It's really, right? It's really. And I go, I'm looking around, what? She's like, how long do you think you're gonna shake your foot? And I hadn't even know it. And some of you know, you have that same, you know, and my foot just goes, it just shakes. I have a hard time standing still. And something came over me called feistiness. And I was like, I don't know, hopefully not much longer. You know, like who says that? Like how rude is that? And she didn't take the bait because I thought maybe we could get into a little bit of a fight because making up's fun. And she said, okay, thank you. And I was like, there's nothing left to fight about. You know, she was so kind. And so then I just stopped shaking. But have you ever, like, your leg shakes, your foot shakes, and some of that is therapy for the brain, and some of us have done enough research to know it's not always because we're rushed and hurried. But I wonder how much of the time it is. It's hard to be still. Now, if you look at the overarching theme of Scripture, stillness is it's a pretty considerable theme when it comes to worship and your spiritual journey. Can we be still? You know what? Before we get to still, let's just ask this question. Can we slow down? Can we slow down? And so this sermon is dedicated to this idea of, all right, maybe I can't be still, but can I slow down? I think what we can do together in the next few minutes, we can do some work together from Scripture that will help us understand why oftentimes we are in a hurry and we are rushed. Now, I'm not saying you're going to love all of the content that I'm going to share with you, because some of it's going to be like, ow, that is so true, it hurts. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, oh, wow, okay, yeah, I don't always. So I'm going to give you a caveat that will serve us all very well during this sermon, and here's the caveat. Sometimes we hurry out of habit. That's it, okay? So give yourself a little bit of credit. We're gonna go ahead and put habit on the table, okay? Sometimes your hurriedness is not because of the reasons we're going to discover in the beginning of time in the Genesis account. Now, a lot of the time, it is what we're gonna share, but some of it is just habit. Some of it is learned behavior. Everything is hurried. Like, for instance, you ever order a coffee at your favorite coffee shop and there's a big line behind you? I will go to the same coffee shop. I know exactly what I'm gonna order. Maybe it's a personality thing. But if there is a line behind me, I'll be like, I'll take cappuccino, oat milk, a double, no single. Wait, what are the sizes again? You know, like, and I just, because I so want to hurry. Are you envious of people's coffee orders? I think some people order coffee so elaborately and effortlessly. It is contagious. Have you noticed this? You're like, I will take a triple tall latte, decaf, oat milk, double tall, foam, almond, please. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing, right? And they're always really dressed great and they're super cool and like have great hair. You know, like I'll take the double whatever. And then I walk up and I'm like, what do you recommend? They're like, coffee, bro. So some of it is habit, right? You feel the urgency of like, everyone else is going fast. Everyone else knows what they're doing. So I'm gonna act like I do as well. So give yourself some credit if you're watching or you're my 20 closest friends here in the room. That is definitely at play. But I'd like to take it a little bit deeper. And maybe, just maybe, you will identify or resonate with where we're gonna go. We're going to go to the Genesis account. The 6,000 years ago, there is a story, very true story, that 6,000 years later is still profoundly relevant. It goes like this. Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you know, you shall not eat the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it lest you die. By the way, she exaggerated that. That's what we do, but that's not what the sermon is about. The serpent says to the woman, you're not gonna die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was a light to the eyes and the tree was to be desired to make one wise. She took of its fruit and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband. This is Adam and Eve, the first man and the first woman who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened and they knew that they were naked. And so hurried, rushed, urgent enters humanity. For the very first time, there is a poor decision. There is sin, as the Bible defines, which simply means missing the mark set by God because he's perfect. And immediately they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. One translation says makeshift, makeshift. In other words, they made do. They made what they could to cover what they had to. Right? Now you can see, it doesn't take a lot of imagination to imagine what that was like. That had to be a stressful sewing experience. Okay? They were not whistling while they worked, right? This was not the seven dwarfs, okay? They were not like like sewing fig leaves together. I suggest you try that. Talk about annoying. Talk about stressful, let alone the urgency. The rush and the hurry of we're exposed, we're humiliated, hurry quick. Now, I want you to imagine, if you're like me, right, you have kids, and then you get walked in on when you're going to the bathroom, because that's what kids do. You have kids, they walk in on you in the bathroom, and they move out. That's pretty much how raising kids go. And so, like, and it's your children, but they walk in, you're like, oh, all right, buddy, all right, close the door. Right? Like, it's just in our nature. As it was for the original man and woman, as soon as you realize you're naked, there's like, oh man, all right. Right? So they sewed fig leaves, they made a makeshift covering. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to them and said, probably the most important question God has ever asked man, where are you? And we're going to be doing more work on that verse in weeks to come. Where are you? And he said, well, I heard the sound of you in the garden. By the way, Adam doesn't answer the question, and we usually don't want to. I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Who told you you were naked? God says. Have you eaten of the tree of which I command you not to eat? Now, again, all the questions God asking, he has the answer, right? This is all from Adam, right? This is like a therapist going, and where are you, right? And the therapist doesn't need to know, like, that it's you need to know, where are you? And like, did you eat of the tree in the midst of the garden that I command you not to eat? And the man says, well, my wife did. And then she gave it to me and I ate. And then God says, wait, Eve, is this what you did? And she's like, well, it was, the snake thing, the serpent, he made me do it, okay? This is the very first scenario that sin produces in human history. And I want you to see the tendency we have as human beings. I'm going to give you a very brief answer. Why do humans hurry? The deepest, most profound, and original answer I can give is this ugly thing called shame. This is why we hurry. This is why we rush. This is oftentimes, if not most of the time, why we're not good at being alone with ourselves. Because there is something we're not proud of. That's a nice way to say it, isn't it? There's something we don't want to face. There's something we don't want to own. There's something we're trying to forget, right? I got so many friends, but someone just recently said to me, like, I always have to have the TV on in my house. Always. And by the way, if you can't identify with that, please come lay hands on all of us and pray for us, right? Like, the rest of us are like, yeah, like, I know why you do that. Now, you might be like, I don't do that, but you always have music on, right? You always have the radio playing. I don't know, you always have a podcast on. You ever met one of those people? It's like, I always have a podcast playing because I always am a learner. It's like, well, I don't know if this is totally always about learning as much as it's about noise, right? We got noise machines now. We should have thought of that. We could have made a lot of money, ladies and gentlemen, like machines that just make noises. Somebody somewhere is on a beach going, my noise machine sold so well, right? Like, but this is the condition of the human being. We start to figure out that there are things in our life we just don't want to deal with. And if that doesn't connect with you, you are a drone, right? For the rest of us, I mean, I could start listing things I don't want to be alone with. I don't want to be alone with. Are you like me? It's like, there's so much going on in the world. I don't want to deal with my anger problem. Oh my gosh. Like, I don't want to do that. Like, I just want to be able to go to a restaurant without a mask. Is that too much to ask? You know, like, I'd rather watch SportsCenter than address why there's so much perfectionism in me. And I freak out when my kids spill one little orange juice on the couch. Oh, what are you doing? You know, and you're like, I don't want to get alone with that. I don't want to have to deal with that. So what do? I fit in the flow of the culture. And most cultures that we're aware of that are at all dialed into this thing called the internet go at a pace that is frankly rushed, hurried, and usually very rarely is slow and almost never is still. And yet the book we study, the book I've committed my life to explain so that the world could meet a person, the person of God, stillness, rhythm, pace, slowness is actually essential to your buoyancy and to your health. You're actually going to need to slow down. I'm going to say this again for a second because I want this to sink in. You are going, please hear me, you are going to need to slow down eventually. You're going to need to slow down. Now, some of us, if I could be candid, our age tells us we don't need to. Our physical health and condition tells us we're good. But I'm speaking beyond even your body, and I'm speaking to your soul. The question, where are you, was not really a question of latitude and longitude, was it? God wasn't saying, you know, Adam, where exactly are you in the garden? Well, if you go down the main row and then take a left at the apple tree, it's the lemon orchard in the back. We're back. No, he's going, where are you? Are you rushed? Are you hurried? Are you in denial? Where are you? Bishop Jakes, who I love to bring up his name because I'm very proud to know him because he's my hero. Bishop T.D. Jakes said the experts he's talked to recently have told him that it may take 10 years for all of us to recover from the trauma we are experiencing just, please hear me, just in relationship to this sickness and disease that has gone around the world. 10 years maybe to recover from the trauma. I'm going to say it again. You're going to need to slow down. You're going to need to slow down. Now, here's what happens. Shame causes us to hurry. And here is why we hurry. The first reason is because we want to hide. We want to hide, right? I mean, we're already alluding to this. Let me just land the plane here in the next few minutes. Because we want to hide. And what going fast provides for us is a barrier to hide behind, doesn't it? It's a barrier to hide behind. Right? You ever have one of those really, and maybe you're one of those people, because I am too, so please don't feel bad about this watching, but you ever been with a really like emotionally, all right, an emo person, whatever. And they're the kind of person who loves to go to coffee with you and go, hey, how are you? Hey, you've been on my heart. How are you? And have you ever been the other person going, you're such a weirdo. Quit doing that. Or if you're like me, you're like, I don't know if I know you like that. What is that in us that goes like, pff. And I mean, some of it's because it's kind of weird sometimes, especially if it's someone that you like thought about dating or you don't date or whatever. You're like, all right, you know, this has an agenda. But so let's talk about more of, you know, the friends. Come on, we've all had those moments where you're like, all right, a little heavy-handed here. You know, this is a little syrupy. No, seriously, where are you? And you're like, I'm right here, bro. Relax, okay? But there is something in us, isn't it? Right, you ever heard that definition of intimacy? Into me, see? Into me, see? I mean, the professional psychological community kind of wrap their arms around that one. Into me, see. I don't want you to see into me. Furthermore, I don't know if I want to see into me. So, if I fill my days and I fill my schedule and I fill my thoughts, it could be base level entertainment that doesn't have a lot of intellectual qualities to it. Or it could be the most incredible dissertation on the nuances of the solar systems known and unknown. But if we're honest, it's because I don't want to see into me, and I don't want anybody else to see into me. So we hide. Second thing we do, we avoid, don't we? We avoid. This will help me avoid something I need to address. What is all this steeped in? Shame. See, you and I still work from a premise that is fundamentally contrary to the teachings of Scripture. And that premise is, I should be ashamed. I should be embarrassed. And I should be humiliated by my weaknesses, my secrets, and my problems. You know how long I've been doing this? I know I look so young, but shut up. But I've been doing this for more than 2 decades. You know how many college guys I've met with? You know how many high school guys I've met with? Just to be clear, I'm not saying I don't meet with girls. Women, girl, I don't do that. Okay, but you know how many guys I've met with one-on-one? How many groups of people I've met with? And when things get honest, almost always it goes something like this. All right, to be honest, where does that statement come from? All right, if I'm completely honest, because we're not completely honest, because we're not most of the time honest. And I'm not saying that you tell everybody what's going on in your heart. You don't like stop a stranger on the street and say, did you know I have an anger problem? They'd be like, I can see why, you know, whatever. But in the right space, in the right context, isn't it amazing how we, and for 20 plus years, before we get honest, we still have to make a preliminary statement. Have you noticed that? Do you know why? Because shame is so deeply embedded in our human psyche and condition. Something tells us hide. Something tells us avoid. 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 Can I be really bold? Much of the fodder on the internet is exactly what I'm describing. If I can blame you, if I can call you out, if I can say how bad you are, then maybe nobody will see me. Cancel culture is shame culture. That's all. That's all it is. If I can cancel you, then I won't get canceled because I'm doing the canceling here. Huh. See, the person who uses shame is crippled by it. That's all. And if shame has never affected you, you are the second coming of the Christ. Because this is just real. And that shame just keeps telling us, did you sign up for the podcast that shame puts out? Because I did. Like, I'm a pretty avid listener and I try not to. But I just keep going to that stupid podcast that's never true. But sometimes I listen to it every day. If people really knew, you're a fraud, you're a fake, your shortcomings, your weaknesses, you're this, you're that. Wow, you go home and raise your voice at your kids. Isn't that interesting? Right after you raise your voice in a sermon. Wow. Oh man, yeah. What will I do? Well, if I do a lot of the time, I never have to face this. And I can avoid it. And then here's the ultimate reason, in my opinion, we are so rushed and so hurried. Because we are convinced I can handle this myself. No one needs to know. I'm going to save me. I never have to tell anyone. You know what I'll be? I'll be the exception. I'll be the exception to the rule. I'll never have to tell anyone. I'll just handle it myself. And so instead of running to love, you run to leaves. And you tell yourself that the leaves will be enough. I want you to think how pathetic that must have been. And maybe we shouldn't visualize it completely, lest we get a little distracted with the anatomy we can imagine. But can you imagine trying to cover the naked human body by sewing fig leaves? Ladies and gentlemen, there is no thread and there is no needle. Can you imagine how pathetic that must have been? And yet, 6,000 years later, what are we doing? We're still sowing leaves. And the shame keeps us in this perpetual cycle. You're different. You're so bad. You're so weak. If people knew, they won't trust you. You won't have friends. You won't belong. You won't fit in. So you better hide. You better avoid. And you better handle this yourself. And so we do. And you know what one of the tells is you will be gracious to others far more than you are to yourself. Isn't that wild? You'll extend like, oh man, it's all right. You're good. Hey, no problem. Oh, come on. Yeah, I bet so many liars. It's okay. I tell lies sometimes. You're going to be okay. And this is why life coaches and counselors and therapists and preachers suddenly act out of character and TMZ spreads the news. And we all go, oh, can we stop sucking air? Are we gonna keep being surprised? This is classic. What I extend to others, I will not apply or extend to myself. No, I can't. I'm the teacher. I'm the spouse. I'm the business owner. I'm the leader of my friends. I'm the only one with a steady job. I can't be weak. Isn't it amazing how many reasons we tell ourselves, I gotta grind, I gotta do this, this is my season, this is my time, I gotta get up early, I gotta stay up late, I gotta work hard. All of the while unable to ask ourselves, why am I hurrying? Because we've talked about this so many times. I am yet to meet the person who goes, I have fallen in love. And I go, really? I found my one person. Oh my God, I'm so excited. Why? How? Come on, tell me the story. You know what? They are so rushed all the time. They're in such a hurry, it is so hot to me. You should see them. They can barely make eye contact with me at dinner. They are such a high achiever. You should see them. They can't even talk. They can't even still themselves to talk with other humans because they are so determined in their purpose. And that's weird. I've never had that conversation. No one's ever listed in a hurried rush is what I'm looking for. And yet here we are, hurrying as fast as we can. Why? Why are we rushing so much? Who told you you were naked? God never says, you're not naked. No, he makes provision, doesn't he? Which takes longer, sewing fig leaves or making the first clothes out of animal skin for human beings? Now, does it take God time? I don't know, but isn't it interesting that there's blood and there's death, and only then is the man and the woman covered, as if to point us to the fact that we will need a sinless Savior who will die, and his death will cover our shame. This isn't a sermon about your schedule. It's really not. This isn't a sermon about how early you wake up or how late you go to bed or the stuff you watch on Netflix. It's a sermon about shame and what it's doing to you. So I'll leave you with this verse, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There are very few verses in all of the Bible that are more important for you to know. There is therefore now no shame, no condemnation for those who are inside of Jesus Christ. Inside. Those animal skins that covered Adam and Eve, as gory as that might sound, it's as if Adam and Eve, I want you to see, they were inside the skin. The Bible says you become hidden, not by your hurried life, but you become a new creature, a new creation, hidden in Jesus. No shame. No shame. And here's what I'm suggesting all over the world. We are endeavoring to mobilize millions of people around the world to practice their faith through church home. Church in your home, church at the park, church on a boat, church on the lake, church in a sauna. Don't make it a long one. You know, like church anywhere, right? Let's gather. Let's practice our faith. What if we were a community that said, we're going to live out Romans 8:1 as far as it'll take us. We're going to stop sucking air at each other. Oh, you're an addict? Oh my gosh. Like, really? You know what I say? I say we start doing, will you join me just for a second? I say, we start doing a little less of this. Wow. All right, well, I'll pray for you. to pray for him. You know, and then tell me your name one more time.
Joey.
Joey. Then I knew that, Joey. And then I actually did. And then when I'm done kind of meeting with Joey, all right, well, Joey, hate you. Man, you gotta pray for Joey. You're supposed to say why.
Why?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't want to like, you know, I don't want to like say, but well, you know, Joey. What if our community, instead of that, which by the way is the norm as much as we don't want it to be, as much as we all pretend like we don't do that, most of us probably did it today in some form. What if we became this kind of community? Wow, Joey, that must be hard.
Very.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good. He's just rolling with me, guys, okay? Man, I can relate. I can so relate, bro. And it means the world that you shared that with me. And I want you to know, I'm right here. We're just gonna do this together. There's no side by side. And by the way, there's no arbitrary timetable. We're just gonna walk together. And I'm just gonna be available. I love you. I know you don't wanna stay here. Truth is, I don't wanna stay here. We both got stuff we're working on. Let's just walk together. Hey, no shame. No shame. Either we believe in Jesus or we don't. No shame. I'm not gonna use shame. And how about you don't use shame? What if we just didn't use shame in all of its forms, like the form of sarcasm, right? What if we just eliminated that? And when people shared where they really are, instead of sucking air, which is another form of using shame, right? Because if I act shocked, it makes me feel better. Oh my God, you gotta hear about what Joey did. Wow, here I thought I had a rough COVID. Guys, I've been doing this way too long in community to know that this is not the norm. And so what does Joey learn eventually? You don't really do that in church. You don't actually go to people and go, I'm addicted. You don't do that. You know what you do? You hide, you avoid, and then what's the last thing you do? Anyone? It's like a class project. What's that? You try to save yourself. I mean, this is what's crazy. Joey, you can answer. Thank you so much. You're so kind. Joey's like, how long am I going to be up here? You know, well, yeah, I didn't sign up for this. Isn't it wild? We're busy telling the world Jesus can save you, but he can't save me all the way. No shame! And yet I use it on myself nightly. When are you gonna stop speaking shame to yourself? When are you gonna stop saying that that's who you are? You're not that addiction. You're not that eating disorder. You're not that anger problem. You're not that lust. That's not who you are. That's not who you are. Was there at any point God said to Adam and Eve, I'm going to tell you why you ate that fruit? Because you're forbidden fruit eaters. That's what you are. Because what you are is what you've done. That's not in God's economy or God's vocabulary. Where are you, Adam? I'm right here. I'm ashamed. I'm naked. I'm afraid. I manipulated the situation. I wanted to be like you. I'm prideful. I'm selfish. And in no case does God go, oh, gross. He says, come here. Come here. It's funny, we all talk about God walking in the cool of the garden, right? But he was doing that knowing that his only friends, the first friends God ever had, broke his heart. And he went nowhere but towards them. Don't get me started. This sermon is supposed to be done now, but I feel like I'm just getting started. But I'm done. His first friends broke his heart. And he went nowhere. And he's still not going anywhere. So you and I have a decision to make. We either believe in this great, big, gregarious God, or we keep hiding, we keep avoiding, and we keep pretending like we can save ourselves. No, thank you. Be still. Why? Because I want you to know that I'm God and you're not. You're not. I'm not. I'm not. Haven't we learned by now? We are no match for the diseases that plague humanity. I got a vaccine. I hope that's not offensive. I don't know where that lands in the political landscape here in North America, but I got a vaccine and my arm hurt. I can barely handle a vaccine. We think COVID's bad? How about the disease of hate and racism and whole systems built to oppress fellow human beings? You think? Oh, we're gonna do this? Oh, we got this. Think a president's gonna do it? I'm not trying to be political, I'm trying to be honest. Either we come running to the great, big, gregarious God of the universe who has not moved back one step from his sons and his daughters. Where are you? I don't wanna answer that question, God, because I don't want to hear myself admit it, because I hate where I am. I don't like where I am, and I thought I'd be further by now. I don't want to answer the question, where are you? I don't want to answer it. Why? Because it feels hopeless, and I feel overwhelmed, and I feel so broken, and I just want to get through. Are you like me? I want to find fellow human beings who are like, life's hard, just got to get through it and, you know, suck it up and just be good about it. And you're like, yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. It's another form of what we're describing, isn't it? You know what I really wanna do? I wanna be open. I wanna be vulnerable. I wanna be candid. I wanna be human. How are you? You wanna know the answer? Yeah. I'm a mess. Tell me more. Really? Yeah, it's okay. All right, well, there's more. How much more? A lot more. Perfect, I got nowhere to go. Put it all on the table. Okay. Wow, that was a really great couple hours of coffee, thank you. What was that? That, oh, that's called church. It's called church. I'm a part of a community that's, church means called out. It means different. And I am telling you, when it all is said and done, what will make the Church of the Living God stand out amongst the rhetoric and fodder that seems to confuse and plague humanity will be what we do with shame. Mark my words. And here's what I'm suggesting we do with shame. We bring it all to the one who forgives and covers, redeems and makes whole. Cast all of your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Are you burdened? Are you overwhelmed? Are you overloaded? Are you burnt out? Are you distraught? Are you discouraged? Are you weary? Are you exhausted? Cast your cares upon him. Jesus, we love you, and I feel you in this room. And I am so tired of this anxious, hurried, rushed, worried pace. Oh God, I'm tired of hiding, I'm tired of avoiding, and I'm tired of saving myself. We come to you. Oh, great God, but there is no one like you. For we know who you are, for you have revealed yourself in the person of Jesus. You are magnificent, and we need you. If you're here watching right now, and you would like to exchange your shame, your guilt, for forgiveness and acceptance and love, I invite you to the only person in the universe who is capable of such an act. His name is God, specifically Jesus. And he was said to be named Jesus when he was born in a barn in Bethlehem, for the name Jesus means Savior, and his life would save people from their sins. Your error, your wrong, your selfishness, your brokenness, your humanity. We err. God wants to forgive and cover so that not another day of your life is riddled with shame, but it's riddled with forgiveness and love and identity and acceptance. So you can truly be the person you know you were designed to be. If you want that forgiveness that only Jesus can provide, for only Jesus knew no sin, so that he could become our sin, so that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, if that is what you're after, and that is who you choose, and you know you need it and want it in your life right now, wherever you are watching, I want you to raise your hand. And by lifting your hand, you are identifying that what's happening inside of you is real, and you will never be the same again. God, I thank you for every hand raised, for it represents a soul that has welcomed you, believed in you, and invited you. I thank you, Jesus. We are freely forgiven because of you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.